I don't know what the deal is. So, Mark chapter 12 today. The religious people have been after Jesus now for the last several weeks of sermons. And as they've been after Him, they've asked Him all kinds of questions, and what they've tried to do is to make a fool out of Him. And finally today, Jesus asked them a question. Over the past few weeks, we have watched as these men have tried to trap Him. They've tried to convince the crowd that Jesus wasn't who He said He was, that He was a fraud, that He was a fake. And every time, He just answered them with the Word of God. He just began to pull the rug right out from underneath them. He began to show them through the Word of God and the teachings of the Word of God that He truly was and is the Messiah, the Savior. And then all of a sudden here, we just take a few verses. In verse number 35, after the question, the last question was, Master, what's the great commandment? He said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And then the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And boy, the young man, he was just caught off guard with it. He said, Wow, that's incredible. And Jesus said, You're not far away. He said, You're really near. You're really close. And all this time, Christ has been teaching. He's been dealing with His disciples and those that are listening that maybe are not part of the group yet. There were probably many onlookers that were trying to figure out, who is this carpenter? Who is this man? And in verse number 35, Jesus answered and said, while He taught in the temple. Now, He's been teaching other things other than just what we've been reading here. How say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David? He says, okay, I have a question for you. Then He makes a reference back to Psalm 110, verse number 1. For He says in verse number 36, for David himself. Now, who is David? David was the greatest king of the nation of Israel. In order for the Messiah to be the true Messiah, for the Savior that they're looking for, in order for Him to be who they thought He was going to be, He had to be out of the lineage or a descendant of David. And if you read the Gospels on several occasions, they reference Jesus as the Son of David. So they knew that He fulfilled that. That's what those long genealogies are in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, where it just goes on, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so. You know, the sleepy time reading of the Bible, all right? And you read that, but literally, that's tracing the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ on both sides, His mother's side and His earthly father's side. So Jesus now asks a question. And I've entitled this, The Question of Identity. This is the question. Remember, He just said a few verses before, you're not far away. And I'm sure some of them thought, well, hold on, I believe all of that. What must I do now? Well, He's about to tell them. For David himself said by the Holy Ghost. By the way, Jesus references two things here. First of all, He identifies Psalm 110 as being written by David. Second of all, He makes the claim that the Scriptures are given by the Holy Ghost. Just like Peter does over in the book of Peter. David himself said by the Holy Ghost. Now notice what he says. The Lord said to my Lord. Huh? The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Well, you have the Lord there. We'll identify some of this in a few moments. Verse number 37. David therefore himself calleth Him Lord. You know what the reference is? He says David called the Messiah Lord, equal with God. And whence is He then His son? He says, okay, He called Him Lord. How can He be His son? You know what he's asking? Who is Jesus? You know what he's really asking these scribes and his disciples and the others? Who am I? He asked the same questions to his disciples in the earlier point. He said, who do men say that the Son of Man is? You know, this is a question we have to answer. Who Who is Jesus? And then we have to carry it one step farther. Who is Jesus to me? If you underline things in your Bible or circle words, I love this next little phrase. And the common people. Common. Everyday. Normal. Common people heard him gladly. Joyfully. I identify as a common people. Amen? Do we hear him gladly today? Or if we allow the world to cloud that, to interfere with that joy? Three thoughts today. Number one thought, the confrontation. The confrontation. I tried it, Amber. It didn't work. I'll punch it again. It didn't work. You'll have to do it. Or did I do it? Oh, we're working on something new today. Underneath this, if you guys are taking notes, who is Jesus? Jesus had countered every attack his enemies had used against him. Each time they asked questions, and as he begins to answer those questions, he's leading them, he's building them up so that he can ask a question. In verse number 35, it says, "How say the scribes that Christ is the Son of God?" He used the word Christ there. That means anointed one. He's implying that the Messiah would be more than a man. That's important, by the way. They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a leader that would be another King David. One that would deliver them from the Roman oppression. The one that would set Israel back in the forefront of where they used to be. That's what they were looking for. They weren't looking for a lowly carpenter's son to go through life humbly. But that's who Jesus is proclaiming that he is. The confrontation. He shows them that Messiah will be human. But if Jesus was only human, that would not work for us. Jesus also must be God. Must be. By the way, Jesus confronts them about their beliefs concerning the nature and the identity of the Messiah or the Savior. As I read this passage, I realize that most people in our world are like those scribes. They will believe the Bible stories about Jesus. They love the image of a baby in a manger. I think it's so cool. He walked on water. He healed the sick. He fed thousands. He helped the poor. He raised the dead. Many even like the story of the cross and the resurrection. If you don't believe that, we're the ones that were here last week that aren't here this week. I believe it here. I like it here. But it's not here. Jesus confronting these men and he's telling them, you've got to grasp this truth. Here's the truth. The Messiah is God in human flesh. Jesus is God in human flesh. But these men cannot get their mind around this truth. People in our world today cannot get their mind around this truth that Jesus is the only way to God. I didn't make that rule. God did. He's the only hope of salvation. They'll go so far, but they're like the young man in the earlier passages. They're close. My dad used to say, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. That's about it. Everywhere else, it doesn't count for anything. Close. I know the crowd that I'm talking to, but every time I get an opportunity, I want to present this. We need to come to Jesus and call on Him for salvation, all God's people said. Amen. Why? What is Jesus trying to tell these men? He's trying to tell these men that the Messiah himself is the only way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only hope of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only door that can be opened, that will allow us into heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. With him, you're saved. Without him, you're lost forever. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So the confrontation is this. Who do men say that I am? Because this leads to the implication. The implication is this. Jesus is the Son of God. Number two, Amber, I'm sorry, I clicked on it, but it didn't work. Hold your finger here. Go with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms and 110. Psalm 110. Jesus confronts these men and he asks them about this passage of Scripture. Psalms 110, page 640 in my Bible. Psalm 110. By the way, this is one of the most quoted Old Testament verses in the New Testament. Over 20 times, this verse is either quoted or referenced to. Psalm 110 is what we will call a messianic psalm. This is a prophetic psalm. This is a psalm that's looking forward to the promised Messiah. Verse number one, the Lord. How many of you notice in your Bible that the word Lord, there's all capital letters, but O-R-D is small, short. You see that in your Bible? By the way, that's one of the cool things about the King James Bible. It really takes pains to get things right. Whenever you see the word Lord in all caps like this, that's the word, Hebrew word Yahweh, or the word we use, Jehovah. That is Almighty God. Okay? So what it says here, it says, the Lord, Almighty God, Jehovah, said unto my Lord. David said, God, Jehovah, said unto the one that I worship, Adonai, the Christ, the anointed one. Sit thou at my right hand. Who has the authority and the pleasure and the responsibility to sit at the right hand of God the Father? Jesus, the Son of God. Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. By the way, there's coming a day. There's coming a day whenever Jesus is going to put all of the enemies underfoot. I read the end of the book. We win. We win. Now we may have to die before we win, but we win. I saw a picture of that on Facebook. And it had somebody that had about 50 grains of sand on their finger. That was the picture. 50 grains of sand on their finger, and they said, underneath it said, our life. And then it showed a picture of, I think it was a desert scene, with all of the billions, trillions of grains of sand. You know what it said? Eternity. I'm not created just for this life. I'm created for all eternity. I'm saved, not just for this life. But by the way, in this life is the only time that I will ever be able to share the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ with a lost person. The implication is this. Jesus is the Son of God. The Messiah is to be a man, but he is to be more than a man. He's to be God as well. All right? Now turn back with me to Mark 12. In that society, a father would never call his son Lord. By the way, it only has happened in the last probably 20 years where children became the rulers of the house. I can remember as a little boy that if my father was talking to someone and I interrupted, I still got the knots on my head. You just didn't do that. That wasn't part of it. But in our world, what we've done is we've tweaked that and we've changed it around. Now, I'm not for treating children as property. Back in the biblical times, children were basically property. But I kind of like the idea of children ought to be seen and not heard as much. When the Jews heard this, David is calling his son Lord. Now you got to remember, Jesus is about six or seven generations removed from David in that descendancy. So David will be his great, 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 great grandfather, give or take. So David said, my son is Lord. And the people are looking and they're thinking, what does that mean? May I say this today? The Jews did not want to see it, much less acknowledge that Jesus was clearly claiming to be Messiah. Just a couple weeks ago, we observed what is commonly known as Palm Sunday. That's the Sunday, or actually probably the Saturday, that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. Remember that story? People laid down palm branches and they declared hallelujah and all that. Do you realize that the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem was the exact day that Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27 predicted that he would? I'm talking about to the very day. No one else in all of history could fulfill that prophecy of the Messiah. And I'm telling you something. Those scribes and those Jewish leaders, if there was something in the background of Jesus that would have proved he was not David's descendant, they would have pointed that out. But they couldn't. So here he is. He says, okay, I've got a question for you guys. I don't know about you, but I got an idea. Some of them are thinking, uh-oh. Because he's already destroyed them. Now, he's going to speak to their hearts. Their hearts are cold and hard, though. His words proved his identity. His works proved it. The Bible declares. My time says I only have about 9 more minutes, but I have about 30 more minutes of message. Let me tell you today two things, and I'll, well, maybe three. Jesus was a man. He had a human mother. He had a human body, a human soul and spirit. He looked like a man. He grew. He asked questions. He increased in wisdom. He prayed. He was tempted. He learned obedience. He hungered. He thirsted. He was weary. He slept. He had compassion. He wept. He experienced joy. He was troubled. He sweat great drops of blood. He suffered. He bled. He died. And he was buried. He was a man. But that's not all. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Son of God. Full of grace and truth. He is omnipresent. He told those disciples, He says, lo, I'm with you. Always. There's no place that you and I can ever go to get out of the presence of Almighty God. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He stilled the seas. He had power over disease. He had power over Satan. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, hast thou not read? He quoted the Word of God. He had power over demons. The demons called out to him, we know who you are. Don't send us into the abyss. Send us to those hogs. He had power over men, over nature. He said, peace, be still. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life that I have looked back and I have watched as I've been in the raging storm as God stepped out on the deck and said, "Peace, be still." He has power over sin, over traditions, over the temple, over death. The Bible says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from dead, physical death." And when He had thus spoken, He stood outside of the tomb and He said, "Lazarus, come forth." He is God. Has power over spiritual death, our biggest enemy. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from life unto death." From death unto life. I'm sorry, I'll get it right. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knew the fickleness of the crowds. He knows what you're thinking right now. Some of you are thinking, "I'm hungry." Some of you are thinking, "I thought he said 9 minutes. He receives worship from the angel, from the wise men, from a leper, from a Jewish ruler, from a heartbroken mother, from the mother of James and John, from the maniac in Gadara, from the man born blind, from Thomas, from the women at the empty tomb, from his disciples. He's a source of life itself. He's the creator of all things. He's the preserver of all things. He alone can meet all of our needs. He receives our prayers. He's the final judge, and He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is God. Those scribes had all the evidences of what I just said. You know what they did? He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But they cried out, "Away with Him! Away with Him! Crucify Him!" Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests, the men that were right here, they answered and said, "We have no king but Caesar." Number three, the application. What does this mean to me? Verse number 37. "David therefore himself calleth him Lord." You know what he says? David recognized him. The man that you worship as the greatest king ever recognized who I am. "And whence is he then his son?" He says, "How can this be? Except I truly am who I say I am." And the common people. The common people heard him gladly. We have far more evidence that Jesus is God than they did. We have a completed Bible. We can read both the Old and the New Testament. We can see where the prophecies were made, and we can see where they were fulfilled. Literally hundreds of them. Within the last 24 to 36 hours of Jesus' life on this earth, He fulfilled about 30 promises of the Old Testament. 30. You know what the chances of one man living this life, the chances that he would fulfill just 5 or 6 of those would be? The number's in the trillions. Whatever number it is, it's followed by 17 zeros. Scientists say that's more than all the matter in the universe. Some have believed the truth that Jesus is God and He came to fulfill the promises of the Word of God. Amber, let's finish up with this. The last 4 or 5 that I put in there. This is what happens whenever you've been saved. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast." Our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. The Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." We're adopted into the family of God. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We're changed. and are being changed by the power of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we're headed, as Brother Steve loves to sing, we're headed to a home in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There it is. How say the scribes that Christ is the Son of God? Who is Jesus? Last slide today. One day, you and I will stand before that Messiah. We'll stand before this same Jesus. And we'll have to answer a couple questions. One is, what have I done with Jesus? If you've not received Him, you've rejected Him. There's no middle ground. You said, but preacher, I'm saved. Awesome. Awesome. Great. Incredible. That's the single greatest thing you can ever do, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing better than that. You're saved forever. You'll never, never have to fear hell. Now, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit of God, has taken up residence in your life. And those things that you've been fighting against and been troubled with, you say, I can't do this, I can't overcome this, I can't quit that, I can't change that. You're right. You're exactly where God wants you to be. He is the Son of God, and He can help you change those things. You say, how do you know that? I'm living proof, and so are many others in this room. Because the second question is this. What am I doing with Jesus today? I'm saved. What does that mean for today? You say, well, I'm in church. Great. You're close. What are you doing with Him today? Is He a part of your life? Is Jesus part of your decision-making process, your parenting process, your retirement plan, your giving, your stewardship of your life? Have you read your Bible this week? Have there been verses that have stuck with you? Has there been something this week that Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, has moved you and helped you to change or maybe not to do? What are you doing with Jesus today? The common people received Him, heard Him gladly, joyfully. Have you lost your joy? Christian, the events that are happening in our lives are designed by the devil to steal your joy. You and I have got to lift up our eyes because our redemption draws nigh. Don't let the devil and the world take away the gladly. I even found out today, I was sitting on platform, I wanted a definition for the word gladly. And I was looking it up. And as I was scrolling through, I thought, oh, I like that word, gladder. It says they were gladder. And I thought, this is awesome. I don't know if that's a real word or not, but I like it. Are you gladder today than you were yesterday? See, that'll stick with you more than anything else, won't it? I want to be gladder this week. Amen? I can't do that unless I receive Him and His words gladly. You know what a common man is? A common man is a man that simply comes humbly and says, God, I need you today. I want to be a common man. How about you? Are you saved? Are you 100% sure you're saved? If you are, what are you doing with Jesus today? I guess we could ask it this way. What is Jesus doing with you today? How is He using you? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.